Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you brought your A-game. A-man, no rings on the track when we unite and spit, this isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you brought your A-game. A-man, no rings.
Hey now, wake up everybody, it is your boys Mike and JD by God Oliva. This is the Mike and JD show, and it is, I think, our first ever morning show together, right? Like, I don't think you and I have ever done a podcast this early in the morning, have we?
Well, technically, we've done early morning shows like past midnight, but I mean, yeah. This is the first time we've ever like done it with, this might be the first time we've done it with the sun up, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we've done some overtimes, I think, like this early, but it hasn't been live on YouTube. It's just been like us recording and then uploading to Patreon. But we did not get a chance to do a podcast last night, and it's completely on me because I was watching the 49ers-Bears game. The 49ers defeated the Bears, thank God, which if they did not, we probably wouldn't have done a show at all. But I was able to get together with some family and watch the game, so that had to take precedence. But I'm glad we're still able to do this, man, because you're busy as shit right now.
Dude, the break is the busiest time of the year for us. Like, we at the high school, we host four different tournaments over Christmas break. We have the biggest JV tournament in the state. We hosted the state girls, because girls wrestling is really big now. We hosted the state girls wrestling dual team tournament. And today and tomorrow, we host probably the biggest dual team, one of the biggest dual team tournaments in the country. And we got nationally ranked teams here. We're going to get our asses kicked. But, I mean, like, the tournament itself is awesome. It's just it's a lot of work. So my breaks typically aren't super open. And then we just got back. We just got back from a funeral up on my wife's, where my wife's from in northern Wisconsin. So even more shit on the plate. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, did you at least have a good Christmas? Did you get anything good? Or did Andy get spoiled?
Andy got spoiled. He's an only child. He was pretty stoked. He got a judo gi. I promised I would start teaching him judo this year. So he's been walking around in his gi, but like not taking it off. Like, he loves it. He does 200 pushups for bed. I don't make him do this. He decides to do it on his own. I think he's a lunatic, but he had to do it in his gi last night because he had to like, he's like, I have to like feel the gi, Dad. And I'm like, all right, no problem, man. And he got a couple books. He's really into books. We got him like space books. He wants to be an astrophysicist when he grows up, he says. So he got him some of that stuff. Michelle got him a bunch of soccer things to help get, you know, help get soccer better. So yeah, he had a good Christmas. I had a pretty good one. I got some sweatpants. My wife's trying. I'm not a sweatpants guy by nature. I have a real hard time not wearing jeans all the time. So my wife's trying to convert me into a sweatpants person, and it might work because these were pretty nice sweatpants. My kid bought me Pet Sematary because I've never actually read Pet Sematary. So he bought that for me. So it was good, man. We had a good Christmas. How about in the Gilbert household?
Really good Christmas. I think I'm poor now. Like, my both my kids were spoiled rotten, but my son is, I think he loves his, like, one of his gifts the most. We bought him a Little Tykes slide. Just one of those, like, you know, just snap-on slides that you can kind of just put anywhere. and he has gone down that thing 1,000 times. He's gotten 3 head injuries so far. Because one time he was sliding down and his feet just like planted at the bottom and he just fell forward and landed right on his head. And then one other time he was trying to do it while looking at the TV and went off the side right onto his head. And then another time he slammed into the wall. So we're like, we took it away for a little bit, but he saw it. So we had to give it back. And so far today, no head injuries for the boy. And then we got him like a little, like a roller coaster for the house. Like you put him on this little dragon thing. It goes up and down a ramp, and he couldn't love that more. And then of course, like the family sent him a bunch of different stuff. And we got my daughter an Apple Watch, which main reason for that, tracking device. Mm-hmm. So we're like, she'll never take it off. So we're making sure that while she's at school, we're able to track her down at all times. And you can put like a school time feature on it to where she can't play with it. But it has data on it, so we're able to like, you know, GPS track her at any time. So that, you know, she's not like a kid that goes off wandering, but we get worried as parents. So we want to make sure to have a tracking device on her. So we got her that. She got a bunch of other stuff too, but like that was her big gift. Me, you're looking at one of my gifts, this sweater.
It's a nice one.
We took Christmas photos in this one. So I actually wore it to the office today. Got some pants and some business clothes and got some other dumb gadgets. But all in all, a really good Christmas. I broke my diet for Christmas. So we had Christmas Eve dinner and then leftovers on Christmas. And then I was right back at it on Friday. I only gained 2 pounds over the weekend. So I think that's a success. So, but I'm down like 12 pounds overall. So we're doing pretty good on the diet. Things are looking up, man. I know you and Andy had an opportunity to go watch World's End in person, so we're going to get to that. But first, there is a little bit of news out there, free agency news that we should probably get into. Some of it is your annual free agency news that always happens this time of year, but let's go ahead and get started into a little bit of free agency frenzy. Oh, hold on, let me... A little bit of free agency. So I had a work thing going on at the same time. I was not involved. So a little free agency frenzy. So I guess top of the list, it came out, I think last night. And Andrew McCarthy, I don't know who that guy is. I think he's an English guy. And John Alba both reporting that Chris Jericho's contract ends on New Year's Eve, which would be in 2 nights at the stroke of midnight. He will then become a free agent. And people within AEW are saying that they fully believe that Chris Jericho is heading back to the WWE, which is kind of what we all thought was going to happen, right?
It's been 6 years. I don't know what more Jericho could do in AEW. It seemed like the AEW crowd had grown very tired of him. And, you know, I mean, he's smart enough to know when it's time to move on.
Yeah.
he probably should have done this 3 years ago, in all honesty. And he took some weird snipes at AEW, like saying the one TNA show looked better than the AEW show at the 2300. I'm like, yeah, okay. I mean, you got to – yes, you are correct. Yeah. That is true.
Technically correct.
Yeah. That on those particular occasions, you were right. I just went to – wasn't a sold-out show the other night, but it was pretty damn close. Like, that was pretty packed at the Now. So it sure seems like – Chris Jericho seems like the kind of guy who, that when you're with him, he's your buddy. But when he walks away, he starts telling everybody what a piece of shit you are.
Yeah.
Like, so a pro wrestler.
Yeah.
which is
what he did when he went to AEW immediately. Like his first promo on Dynamite was burying their creative of Jake Hager.
Correct. Like, so this just seems like that. So I imagine that Chris Jericho will show up in WWE. I hear a prediction. Chris Jericho will show up in WWE. He will bury Tony Khan, who paid him well and treated him like gold for 6 years. He will bury Tony Khan. He will bury AEW, a company that he helped start and that he spoke fondly of for 6 years. He will do that to ingratiate himself to Triple H, and Chris Jericho will do a shit ton of jobs in 2026, and Gunther will choke him out, and that will be the end of his career.
I could see that. So my only pushback on that is I don't think Jericho is ready to retire. So I don't think that retirement deal that people were rumoring like a month ago, I don't see that happening as of right now. He sees himself like Mick Jagger.
He does.
And Mick Jagger is like 117 years old and he's still out there doing it and putting on big shows. I just think that Chris Jericho sees himself as like Terry Funk and Jerry Lawler. I don't think he's doing a retirement tour this early. And like, and you're like, Mike, he's like in his early 50s. Yeah, I still don't think he's doing a retirement tour this early.
Mid-50s. And to your point, Andy and I were talking the other day. Andy's super into Pearl Jam right now. We got got him the biography of Eddie Vedder. You know, a kid's biography of Eddie Vedder. And like, I made him a Pearl Jam Stickman shirt in my t-shirt shop. And we were talking, he's like, when I'm a dad, I'm going to take my kid to see Pearl Jam. I said, I don't know if I'm going to be torn when you're a dad. And he looked me in the eyes and said, Dad, the Rolling Stones still tour. My 9-year-old said this to me. And I looked at him and I'm like, you're right. So, I mean, it's quite possible Chris Jericho thinks he has it. Here's where I will push back on you, Mike. Paul Levesque does not like Chris Jericho. Paul Levesque will use Chris Jericho to where he thinks he is effective, and then he will decide how often Chris Jericho is used. I don't think this is going to be great. I think people are going to go, this isn't CM Punk. Chris Jericho in 2026 is not CM Punk in 2023.
Yeah.
Right. It's not the same coup. And they don't like it. CM Punk and Triple H have this famous contentious relationship. CM Punk can make a lot of money for them. I don't think Chris Jericho has that currently.
No.
And I think that their bad blood goes back a long, long way. So, yeah. I think that they will utilize him as best they can, and he will put out, he might not retire, but they'll do a big match where Gunther chokes his ass out, and then Chris Jericho will do some appearances here and there. I don't think it's going to be a great deal this time around for either guy. I think Jericho just knows he's used in AEW. I could see them shipping Jericho to TNA for some stuff. I think that is a possibility. I could see Chris Jericho doing some stuff with NXT here and there, but he will start out SmackDown probably. And you'll see that, or Raw or whatever.
Yeah, well, SmackDown going to 3 hours, they're bringing up a lot of NXT talent, and so they might need another star for that show. And say what you want about Chris Jericho, he is absolutely a star. He is not the draw that CM Punk is, you know, when he came over, or like he's immediately being a difference maker. Mm-hmm. But like a major difference maker, Chris Jericho makes a difference, but now he's not a major difference maker like a CM Punk is. He's going to come out, he's going to get an amazing pop on his first night, and then there'll be some diminishing returns. And I do think you're right. I think that he exits the WWE being choked out. I just don't think that he's going to retire that way. I just think that he's just sees himself as a guy that's going to be around forever. So if he does only do a 1-year deal with WWE, gets choked out, he's going to be on a Legends contract, and he's going to go back to Japan, or he'll go to TNA, or he'll go somewhere else, or he'll try to look. Tony Khan fucking loves Chris Jericho. It's one of his childhood favorite wrestlers. If he's only in WWE for a year, which we don't know the deal, they might have him in for 3 years and then like a contingent offer and all kinds of stuff. But if he's just doing a retirement tour, AEW will bring him right back. They absolutely would.
And I think Chris Jericho knows that. I think Chris Jericho is one of the few people that understands absence makes the heart grow fonder. And WWE in 2022 might not have been the best place for Chris Jericho to go.
Yeah,
because Cody was heading there at the time. And like, you know, I think that his value just wasn't what it was. Now, if he leaves for a year or two or whatever, three, and then can do an appearance with AEW and down the line, I think Chris Jericho gets that can be. And he's also, Chris Jericho's not a Fed flag waver. Like he will criticize and he will say, this is good, this is not good. Like Jericho is loyal to Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
So he will go where it's convenient for him. And I think he realizes that he could have two more tours. He might think he can do another. I think in his mind, he thinks he can do another run with WWE and then have retirement tour back with AEW, because AEW would give him a better retirement tour than WWE will. Look at Sting. That's the example. So I think Chris Jericho is not thinking this is his last contract. I'm thinking WWE is thinking they can put him out to pasture. I don't think Jericho believes that.
They probably see him the way WWE probably sees him, the way that they saw Edge and Christian, where they're like these older dudes that were never, for them, big time draws, right? Not huge difference makers. And so they're probably not going to put that kind of value or stock on the same way that they did with the CM Punk, because CM Punk is a difference maker, a major difference maker. So I'm interested to see how it plays out in WWE. You know, there was a lot of people that were holding on hope that he would do a TNA run. I just don't see that. They don't got Jericho money. No. You know what I mean? Unless this AMC deal turns into like a big money deal. He is a mark for setting records. He's a mark for like break, you know, doing historical things.
Mark for himself.
He's a mark for himself, but he also wants to make a lot of money. And I respect him for that. So if TNA ain't got Jericho money, he ain't going to TNA. That's the end of that, right? Like they just don't have that kind of money. And so I just never really saw it. Although we did try to like explain why it would make sense, but at the end of the day, it's a money situation, and Jericho's not going to go where the money is, isn't it? He's a fan of the money.
Big time. I can, like I said, I would not surprise me to see Jericho make some off appearances here and there as part of the relationship between WWE and TNA, you know, because again, WWE is always looking for, we'll continue to look for a way to strengthen the tie between the two companies, because it's good for WWE to have an alternative that they can control. So yeah. I think that they can see that is helping. And I think I could see Chris Jericho doing stuff. There's some of this is Chris Jericho might do AAA. I could see that. I could see Chris Jericho making some appearances in AAA. That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, he did the stuff with CMLL as as like on loan from AEW. Mm-hmm. He went to New Japan New Japan were his own bookings. He wasn't on loan from AEW, but I could definitely see them sending him to let's give this guy a card. I said, actually, Chris Jericho just doing AAA might be good for him. I don't think just doing AAA. I think going there like on loan from the main roster, WWE, you know, where I could see him in a main event against Dominic Mysterio for sure. And I can see that doing business in Mexico.
Yeah, but I mean, even Dom Mysterio isn't like just with AAA. You know, that's just not that's just not how this relationship is working. Right?
They own AAA. You
know? They do. But I mean, like, what I mean is, like, there's not WWE guys that just do AAA. There's AAA guys that are clearly signed to WWE, but the guys from WWE that do AAA, you know, they're also WWE. So I mean, like, I can see him. I could absolutely see that going on. I think people overrate the CMLL versus AAA thing because that's really more of a regional. And it's all Mexico. That just shows you don't really know what you're talking about. Like AAA is stronger in the northern parts of Mexico, Tijuana, right? That's where they have their real presence. Whereas most of CMLL's base is Mexico City. Right, the central southern portions of Mexico are typically where they're stronger. So it's different. Like it's not like WWE AEW. It's a very different type of thing. Like, you know, people need to it's not all A to B.
Yeah, for sure. Next up, the annual David Finley is hitting free agency. Reports are out there. I think this is the fourth year in a row that Fightful Select has reported that David Finley's 1 year contract is up. We get it this time every year. And every year it is reported that he's interested in going to the U.S. But it seems like a lot of people think that he actually might go to the U.S. now at this point. You know, New Japan hasn't gotten any stronger. They're having this big show at the Tokyo Dome, but I think after that it's going to be tough for them. Unless they bring in some big stars and get them under contract, but it's hard. Like they just don't got the money. Do you think David Finley could be leaving, and where do you see him going? Should he leave?
Tony Khan has not made moves to get David Finley. Like Tony Khan will make it obvious who he likes from New Japan. Case in point, who just worked the show.
Yeah. Like same page. Yeah. Same page. And let's expand on that. Every talent that they have signed from New Japan has been regulars in AEW already, right?
Okada,
so if you think that
Ospreay,
Gabe Kidd's going anywhere else, he's sticking with AEW.
Yeah.
Like, so do the list again because I was interrupting. I'm sorry.
Okada, Will Ospreay, Jay White, Aussie Open, all guys that had multiple appearances with AEW before. Tomohiro Ishii, who is kind of an AEW New Japan guy.
Shibata.
Shibata. Oh, Shibata's a weird one.
Yeah.
Shibata needs to be kind of put in his own.
He had his brain removed. It was a whole thing.
It was an actual report. Everyone that Tony likes, he brings in and kind of like greases the wheels. David Finley has had some appearances, but not really. No. Like nothing that hasn't been Forbidden Door related. And it's not like he ever gets treated great when he's there. Not treated poorly, but not like Gabe Kidd. Just it's very obvious that Tony Khan loves Gabe Kidd because Gabe Kidd's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So it's very obvious who Tony's got his eyes on, and it ain't David Finley. That being said, even though Fit Finley has worked for the WWE system for decades, they've never brought his kid in.
Yeah.
Ever. Which is weird.
And I don't know like if that is David Finley's like deal, like he didn't want to go, or if that was NXT wasn't interested. I can't really tell because I think that he felt that New Japan would push him as a big star. And he was like a decent level star there. He held some titles. He had some big matches.
Yeah, for sure.
He was never the guy, but he was never the top guy. Gaijin, I think that I was went to like, you know, Ospreay and Zack Sabre Jr. He was like right below those guys. He's a good worker. He's got a decent promo. He's just not a top guy in New Japan. And I don't see him being a top guy for any US promotion at this point. But that's okay. Like some guys need to work the upper mid card and hold the Intercontinental belt or the international belt. You know what I mean? But he's pretty good. I just don't know if he's WWE bound either.
No, I don't think so. I think there was rumors of him coming in just before NXT kind of when H lost his power a few years back, back when the NXT got the Rainbow rebrand. Like, I think the time to bring him in probably was just before that, when that's what NXT was doing. When NXT was trying to be the competition for the old Ring of Honor. And it just, timing-wise, never quite clicked. And then this past couple times his contract has come up, they haven't made the move to bring in David Finlay. And David Finlay had a pretty good 2023 in New Japan in 2024. So I don't know that they're interested, either company. Yeah. I mean, he'd be a good player to have on your roster, but I don't know that either company really need him. He might be better off just staying in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my thing. And I talked to our buddy Chris Sams, and he was just asking me, like, me and him were just discussing whether or not TNA would be interested. And I was like, David Finlay's never been a U.S. star in either AEW or the WWE. And if he comes to the U.S., he's going to want to be paid pretty well. And TNA wouldn't pay him unless he was a star in WWE or AEW beforehand. And he just wasn't. Plus, I don't know that he knows how to sing, right? And so, like, if you're not a major star in the US and you don't know how to sing like Joe Hendry, I don't know that they're going to bring you in. And so I would say TNA is probably out on David Finlay because he's a really good worker, but he's not famous yet.
Well, it's funny too, because they had Finn Juice had a nice little run in TNA back in 21, 22-ish.
Pandemic era, yeah.
And maybe just post-pandemic era. Finn Juice did quite a bit terrible. Still one of the worst tag team names of all time.
Yeah.
And we see where not, and Juice Robinson was the more charismatic, better guy of the team. And we kind of see where he's slotted in AEW, which is kind of where he belongs, really. Like, yeah. I mean, like, is there like this outcry that Juice, and I like Juice Robinson, but I mean, I don't know if he should be pushed harder than he is.
I thought that Juice Robinson could have been a top babyface in TNA at the time, should they keep him around. But I did not see his heel turn coming, and I think the heel turn, I just don't know that I'm all that into. And then he shaved all his facial hair. It just didn't
look weird. He looks weird without facial. I don't like it. Nora Sparks points out that Barrett Bronson does not sing.
Well, first of all,
it's almost like he didn't know that was a joke.
Yeah. So, Norris, sir, yeah, A, I was joking, and B, Barrett Bronson is not on an exclusive deal making a lot of money. My comment was about David Finlay, who is leaving in a upper level spot in New Japan to come to a TNA. He would probably want commensurate money or more to make that move. And because he's not a US star and because he doesn't sing, I don't think they would be doing that. Bear Bronson, on the other hand, was working dark matches and losing a lot and was essentially a job guy in AEW and has been touring around doing death matches for a year. And they're bringing him in on a low money deal. And they're doing I think he's a good pickup for TNA. I think that's the right kind of guy they should go after and build up and make in their image. Mm-hmm. I think they're different. I think David Finlay is just probably sees himself as a bigger level star than a Bear Bronson, and he would be right, which is why there's a dichotomy. Like, it would be a weird thing for TNA to do. I just don't see them making that move.
There was a time where people really thought David Finlay was going to be the IWGP champion.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that was legitimate talk a couple years back. And it just, I don't know, it hasn't really worked out. And it seems like there's other guys that I think could wind up in either company more so than him.
Yeah. Clark Connors also a free agent. I don't think he's very good.
I think he's all right. You don't like Clark Connors?
I'm sure he kicks out of stuff, but he just looks like an eighth grade Adam Page to me. Like I just don't see anything in the guy. I'm sure he's a nice person. And I'm sure he's had some good matches. I just don't see him being a guy that anybody's going to care about on television.
I could see NXT giving him a shot. because I think he can have good matches. I could see
him.
I
mean, him and Lexus King would be a great tag team, I think.
Oh, I think he's way better than Brian Pillman Jr. I think that's yeah.
He does more of the moves and the stuff. Yeah,
he's better than He's got more charisma than Brian Pillman Jr. But not much. So yeah. I don't think that. I don't know. A lot of the it's so weird how of that New Japan LA Dojo class, it's pretty much Kevin Knight. Pretty much that's the jewel in that collection. Right, everyone else has kind of been like, eh. Like no one's heard from DJ Eddie in a long time.
You have.
Well, he didn't like me. That's okay. Man, I remember a guy we used to work with was like all over. Was like, oh yeah, go Carl Fredericks could be great for WWE. Just that and the other thing, and that didn't work out. So
no,
I don't agree with that guy's thoughts on just about anything.
Yeah, now he's carrying Dakota Kai's bags.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, so I don't know. I could see Carl. I could see now TNA. Maybe Carl. Maybe if I'm Clark Connors, I'm trying to get a TNA.
I don't think TNA would take him.
I don't know. Maybe the Alan Angels thing. I don't think he. I don't know if Clark Connors expects to get paid.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. I think that Japan. He's just looking for something home, like where he's not having to go to Japan all the time. So if I'm Clark Connors, I would try to be like on home with the Carl Silva and be like, hey man, I can be a guy here. I'll work relatively cheap and I'll prove myself, and it might not work. I said Alan Angels tried that a few years ago. It didn't work out for him.
The only way he's getting in is if he has a pre-existing relationship with Tommy Dreamer is the one that brings people in. He's the head of talent relations. I don't know that they have that. I think if Scott D'Amore were in charge, you'd probably see both David Finlay and Clark Connors, because Scott D'Amore valued stars from Japan like that. Like he had that relationship with New Japan. Those are the types of guys that he valued. This current regime, Who are they pushing right now? What, Nick WWE. Nemeth, Matt Cardona, Mike Santana, who's come off AEW TV, Elias, right? Who's the singer, right? They were pushing Joe Hendry because he had. They weren't pushing him until he went viral, and then once he went viral, then they decided to push him.
True.
Frankie Kazarian been a television star for 20 years. You know, Eddie Edwards, same. Moose, same. Like those are the guys that they're pushing. Clark Connors doesn't have anything that they would be looking for with this current regime.
But you need a mid card, right? Yes. And if you're Clark Connors, you got to see that as like there's nowhere in really in WWE. There's no really in AEW. The chances where there's openings is TNA, right? Because TNA is going to have a bigger show. They're going to have a bigger following, and everybody on that roster is pretty much old or coming in from WWE. So I'm not talking about what they want. I'm talking if I'm Clark Connors, the people I'm on the phone with right now are Tommy Dreamer and Carl Silva being like, hey man, give me a shot. I'll be a mid-carder. You guys, he'll just sell yourself. Like I can do this, blah, 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 blah. And sell yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I think that's his opportunity to actually do something. And then you have a contract in a couple of years and all of a sudden maybe WWE and AEW do come knocking on your door.
Yeah.
Cause he's a war dog in New Japan. Right. Like he just kind of gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. Like I got to admit this young New Japan crop, both American and native Japan, hasn't really worked out very well. Like, it's all been kind of a,
Yeah. Last free agent before we get to your experience at AEW World's End, Anna Jay. I think she's an interesting free agent. It doesn't appear that she's sticking around AEW. WWE kind of put it out there into the ether that they're not really taking anybody in right now. So I don't know that I think that NXT would sign her or should sign her. I think she's got everything they're looking for. If TNA isn't in on her, they should be. Like she's exactly the type of person they would want to bring in a decent level, lower level, kind of middle of the pack AEW woman that could be at the top of the pack at TNA. Got the look, but never really broke through. Still kind of probably not that great of a wrestler, but that's okay in TNA. They can work around that. So I just don't know what she does, but I find her to be interesting.
That's an interesting camera here. Anna Jay needs a whole bunch of match experience. Probably Anna Jay is she was like 2020's rookie of the year. I think the Observer, I think she might have won the Observer one in 2020, to be honest.
Probably.
That was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, Tony doesn't give her enough matches, blah, 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 blah. We've said this before. I think Anna Jay has a fantastic look, a good presence. She was signed off a presence, off a tryout match, right, with Britt Baker. Like, Anna Jay has had opportunity there. Her and Tay Mello won that first women's tag team tournament way back. Like, she's kind of lazy, yeah. Right? She doesn't take independent bookings. She doesn't work very hard on her own. And everyone, like, people are like, oh, Tony doesn't give people opportunities. That's a bunch of crap, man. Yeah. Like, every woman that they brought in after her, I just watched the world's title match with Chris Statlander and Jamie Hayter. Jamie Hayter came in after they signed Anna Jay. Toni Storm came in after they signed Anna Jay. Harley Cameron was a girl who we knew as the singer of the Iconics, or whatever the hell they were called, Teen Inspiration, video. Right. Yeah. That's what she was before AEW signed her. She got herself over. Right. Yep.
Willow. Bless you.
Yeah. Pardon me. Willow came in after her. Like, almost the whole roster has come in after Anna Jay, and they've all surpassed her because they're all either better in the ring, more talented on the microphone, or just plain out like some combination of the two. Anna Jay kind of gets by as one, her boyfriend. You know, Jack Perry is, you know, apparently knows where the bodies are buried in AEW, so he ain't ever getting fired. And, like, she's got a great look, and they just kept her on because of that, and that she hasn't really done much to improve. If I'm her, and I think all this talk about her, and I see this on all parts, oh, Tony Barry's and Anna Jay. I'm like, well, because she's not great. Like, if I'm her, you got to go to TNA, you got to go to NXT. You got to. Like, and I think she's another Alexis King, quite frankly, if she goes to NXT. She'll get exposed very, very quickly. I don't think she's that good.
She could be. I find her to be interesting. I'm curious to see what she would do outside of that AEW system, to where, like, sometimes, like, it's like a relief pitcher going from one market to the next. Like, sometimes you just get with that right pitching coach and, like, something unlocks in you. I'm just curious because I've always found her to be, like you said, that she's got the presence, she's got talent. But can she put it all together? I don't know. And is she willing to work for it, which she has not proven that she would be?
Mike, I love that analogy. But oftentimes those middle relievers will come out and have one or two good years, and they're right back to what they were.
Yeah.
Right? Because they really weren't that good. They just had a coach who was able to unlock it. It happens every year. Yeah. Right? That's why middle relievers are kind of like, you've got a million of them. Because, like, you never know if they're going to be great or if they're terrible. Like, and it's sometimes it works out really, really well. Like, I'm a big White Sox fan. Bobby Jenks had two great years as a closer.
Yeah.
Right. And then after that, he was just because that's the vast majority of closing pitchers, right? Like, you're good for a hiccup and then it's over. So I think
Jonathan Papelbon,
there's a million of them. The history of pro baseball is littered with guys like that. I think Anna Jay is kind of like that too. If I think she goes to NXT, I think what they'll do is they'll push her hard right away because that's just what they do, and it's really smart business. As to say to these people, are you unhappy in AEW? Come to WWE. We will give you a shot. And then, like, look at what's her name? Jade. The WWE fans finally figure out, oh, she's not going to get better. But they got to push her because they spent all this money on her. And they got to convince people that she's still good. So I think that if she goes there, she'll probably get an NXT North American title run and, you know, then kind of fade. And if she goes to TNA, she could get pushed really high, actually.
I made a pitch on Brace for Impact that's currently on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. I did a quick Brace for Impact episode earlier today. And I've been working on our pod today, but I made a pitch that they should bring her in and immediately replace Indy Hartwell, whose contract I believe is coming up soon, because Indy Hartwell does not have it. And no, I was like, bring her in and give her a shot as the baby face knockout that they've been missing. And she could work with the likes of Tessa Blanchard and Danny Luna as heels, who could probably make her look really good.
Agreed.
And I was like, you don't have to sign her to a long-term deal. You don't have to, but I would give her a shot as, like, your top female baby face for sure.
Yeah. Why the hell? No, why not? That's a great idea. And it's, again, she could probably get her pretty cheap if WWE isn't interested in her, and they might not. They might not think they have the room for her right now. Like, Blake Monroe, Mariah May was an easy slam dunk, right? Mariah May, before this whole thing, was actually a pretty good wrestler. Yeah. Like, people seem, it's, she seems to have struggled really to find her niche in WWE. I think that she'll fix that. She's very talented. I don't know. I think AEW should cut bait on her.
Yeah,
I just think that when you've been somewhere for so long and you haven't got over, like, it's time to do something else.
Yeah, she's never going to get better there unless she goes out and proves some stuff. You know what I mean? And, like, I felt the same way about Private Party. And I was like, I liked those guys early on, but then they plateaued quickly and they never got better. I think they should, like, I think AEW is smart to move on from them. They're smart to move on from Allen Angels. There's a lot of guys on their roster. I think that they should move on, guys and girls. I should move on from. I saw this over the weekend. They brought in Jordan Oliver and Alec Price. I was like, that's genius. Like, that's who they should be focusing on right now. AEW, and then, like, you know, what's that?
AEW or TNA brought those.
AEW did.
Those are good guys to bring in, actually. I think they've got Adam Priest doing stuff with Ring of Honor. It seems like AEW is starting to think about the future, which is good. They need to. Jordan Oliver, I've loved Jordan Oliver since my, you know, I will sing the praises of 2019 MLW forever. I think, and Jordan Oliver's starting to fill out. I think he's low-key pretty damn good. I like Jordan Oliver.
Yeah, for sure. All right. We're gonna bring this thing home soon. So JD, over the weekend, you and Andy had the opportunity to go to AEW World's End. Before we get to the match-by-match, like, results, what was your overall experience at the show, man? Did you guys have fun?
So, like, we went to, I think I mentioned my wife's 88-year-old grandpa passed away, and the funeral was the day after Christmas. We weren't planning on going up to the farm, but we did. And then my wife caught bronchitis, so she wanted to go home pretty quickly afterwards. And I'm like, all right, why don't we, I wasn't planning on going because I thought we were going to be gone. So I said, well, why don't you go home and I'll just take the boy to the show. And tickets, we got some production kill tickets at like $35 a pop.
Nice.
They weren't great seats, but they were good enough to see the ring. So they actually did a really good crowd, and that it's the best I'd seen that Now Arena since 2022. So
it was like
really
8,000-9,000.
Yeah, 9,000. I think started 9,000. They closed that, which is pretty good considering their stuff. Like, it's like I said, best crowd I've seen there in a long time. So we had a blast. We were a little late. We missed Okada and Takeshita because we were literally coming home at that time. We were there for the whole show except the main event. Andy looked at me after John Moxley won, and he said, Dad, MJF's going to win the title. I don't want to watch. Let's go home. And I said, yeah, good call.
Yeah.
And he was 100% right. My kid is the next John Muse. He just understands. He just understands pro wrestling booking.
Yeah. Can I pat myself on the back, you know, with the whole MJF thing?
This wouldn't be Mike and JD show if we didn't break our own elbows patting each other on the back.
Yeah. Even before MJF returned, I said on this show, when Swerve returned after Samoa Joe won the title, everybody's like, I think they're going to flip it over to Swerve. And I was like, I still think they're going to flip it over to MJF. I was like, MJF lost the belt to Samoa Joe. I think they're going to flip it back to him whenever he comes in. And then he was back a couple weeks later, cashed in his Money in the Bank briefcase. I'm never going to call it the whatever else they call it.
What it is.
It's what it is. And for a fatal four-way, yes, fatal four-way. I know that annoys people, but that's what it was.
Yep.
And I was like, I knew he was going to win that match. And, you know, some people liked it, some people didn't. I just, once they announced that it was a four-way in the main event, I didn't care. I went to bed before that match. I ended up catching it later and it was okay. But I went to bed after Moxley because I just old. So I went to bed after Moxley won the Continental Classic. But yeah, MJF is the new World Heavyweight Champion. Bogo Max himself. I'm curious to see how this run goes, man, because I think this is going to be really tied to his legacy in AEW. Because his last run was very hit or miss, man. He had a lot of stinkers in that last run.
I'd say more miss than hit, to be honest with you. MJF decided he wanted to be like this baby face with the Adam Cole thing. And like, I have a hard time giving them credit for drawing that house in Wembley. I know technically the main event is what draws the house, but I don't think I'm controversial taking this when I say it was the appeal of AEW and Wembley that drew that house.
Yeah.
100%. And I think we shit all over that main event when that happened a couple of years back. So I think this is a chance for the real MJF to be the world champion the way we thought he should have been the first time. I think Max is an excellent worker. Yeah. He really is in the ring. He really, really is. I don't like I can't think of the word right now.
His instincts.
Thank you. I don't care much for his instincts. I couldn't think of that word. I think it leans way too sports entertainment heavy. A lot of it is his age. I want to see a Ric Flair-esque title run from him. Mm-hmm. When I say that, what I mean is like the millionaire world heavyweight champion who's a complete dickhead that people kind of like, but they know they're supposed to boo. I think it's been a while since we've had a guy like that in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, imagine if The Miz was actually good. So I want to see if we can do that. I want to see my kid hit it on the nail head. He's like, Dad, it's time for Darby. And I'm like, you know what, kid? You're right. I would like to see Darby Allin going back and feuding with MJF one more time for that title. I think that could be, I think it's a breath of fresh air because we've kind of been recycling Joe, Swerve, Hangman in that world title mat, that world title scene for a couple of years now. And I'd like to see something a little bit different. And I think that Max and MJF have a real good rivalry. They haven't really touched each other in a few years. And I think that now that MJF is kind of back to being the scumbag that he is, it's very important right now. Cause we called him Bogo Max. Like AEW's stuff started to downfall during his title reign. A lot of it wasn't his fault, but this is really, things are kind of on an upswing. Like they're doing better than they were a year ago, not tremendously, mm-hmm. but they're doing better than they were a year ago. So now is the time to really see that. I think you got to go with Max with a decently long title reign. And now is the time to really establish who that next babyface is going to be. People like say that Tony never gives Hangman the shot. That's because when Hangman gets the shot, nothing fucking happens. That is the truth. And I know that if you say a bad thing about the Hangman, people hate you. But like, people like watching the Hangman chase for the title. They don't like watching him as the champ.
His both of his runs have failed.
Yes,
they have failed, and they went to, they had to transition to a guy in their 40s, right? Like his first run, they transitioned to Punk because Punk was just a bigger star. Mm-hmm. And then this time they transitioned.
Which was the move. Which was the move. Let's not forget that. That was a smart move at the time.
That was a smart move. So then he gets scaled down a little bit, and then they ramp him back up. And then he had a good, like his chase to Moxley, I thought was good. Mm-hmm. Was really good, actually. And then he got the belt and then nobody cared. And then they do like a 2 or 3 match series with Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe ends up winning it. And he was really a transitional champion to get the belt back to Max, which I don't know why Max couldn't just beat Hangman. Maybe they're saving that for later.
Had to get that win back, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. He wanted to beat Samoa Joe. Why couldn't they just do Samoa Joe? They had to be a four-way. I the whole thing just puzzles me and I'll never understand it.
I don't know, man. I kind of like when Joe's the champ. Like I think Joe beating Hangman was a little bit of for this company, right? I think it'd become a little predictable. And I think doing that on occasion, and Joe's a great guy to do that with. Like in case of glass break, you know, put the belt on Joe. Like I said, I'm a little more cautiously optimistic on Max this time because I think they're just gonna book him as a heel champ this time around. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see. But yeah, I'm interested to see how it goes, and we'll be keeping tabs on it. Let's just go through the card really quick. So you missed Takeshita and Okada.
I did.
It was a really good match, but they did this for whatever reason. They decided to do a screw job finish, literally with a screwdriver, where Okada pulled out a screwdriver and he whiffed Takeshita, thankfully, or else he would have killed him. But he hit Takeshita with the screwdriver and got the victory in the tournament where you're not allowed to cheat or you'll get fired. He cheated to win, which that's the heat. They're going to go back to it.
He's a heel. And also Takeshita trying to keep him a little strong heading into Wrestle Kingdom, you know, weird booking all the way around.
Yeah.
But I think there's still meat on the bone with Takeshita and Okada. So like, I'm okay with it. It's a semifinal. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah. So much so like, okay. And when the only time I usually get mad at AEW is whenever what I book in my head is something they didn't book. Mm-hmm. And for Mike's booking, what I wanted was Takeshita and Fletcher in the final. I would have went with the guys on the rise versus, you know, Okada and Moxley, kind of two guys that have been there, done that before, or I would have done Okada and Takeshita in the final with Takeshita going over. I just think it's time for Takeshita and it's time for Fletcher. But I don't care. I'm not mad that Moxley won. I love Moxley, of course, but that's just kind of what I would have done. And so I just feel like this was Okada and Takeshita is a really, really big match. And I just kind of wish that we would have gotten it under better circumstances than the semifinal of the tournament and then a screw job finish. Maybe because I just wanted something different.
I feel like we overrate the first time matches too much.
Yeah, probably.
I feel like we oh my God, it could never happen again. When in reality, wrestling fans' memories are short, notoriously, and it's been this way forever. I think we can go back to that match at some point, and it's fine. we have this American booking mind. When American booking, every tournament, every big thing is a chance to make the next guy, chance to make the new guy, chance to do something else. Whereas in Japan, very often the guy wins the big tournament, right? You look at that history, the IW of man, I'm having a rough day today. The summer tournament, the G1. Thank you. God damn, man. This old age is killing me. You look at the G1, right? It's oftentimes won by the guy.
Yeah.
It's very rarely won by someone on the rise, if ever. Like, the G1 is not a chance to – you make yourself in the G1 by going on a run in the G1, not by winning the G1. Like, what, Ochono won it like four times, you know. Okada's won it a bunch of times. You know what I'm saying? Tanahashi's won. Like, that's how
Takeshita won it this year.
Takeshita didn't win it, and he's the champ. Like, it's typically in the Japanese tournament system, the guy wins it. The big guy wins that thing. So I think that the C2 is inspired by the G1 to the point where the names are almost the same. So I think that having this, especially with a guy like Moxley, who, and I love this booking, I'll tell you why. John Moxley's had a very definitive, very controversial year. People like, I hate the Death Riders. John Moxley found a way to be an over heel in this way. He was the most hated heel in the company and possibly in pro wrestling for a good chunk of 2025, right? And he drew. All in drew. Like, the AEW started ticking back up with Moxley's reign. We didn't love it at first, but after a while, the pay-per-views increased, everything with TV ratings. And that's just kind of across the board. TV is in a weird, weird place right now. Just look at everything. And Moxley's been, since losing the title, Moxley's been putting people over left and right.
Yeah.
So I think that this tournament did a really good job of reestablishing a top guy. My kid was on the ball. He says, Dad, their Death Riders are going to turn on Moxley.
Yeah.
And they didn't, but I think it's coming.
It's coming. Because
they're very much in different places right now.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been predictable to have that happen. And it didn't happen, but you're kind of like, ooh. So I think in 2026, Mox doesn't have to be the champ. But I think having him with that Continental title, there's too many belts in the fucking company. But at least those belts kind of signify who are the people you have to watch in this company. And I think that it puts Moxley in an interesting position, right, in 2026. And I do like that I would not have booked Moxley to win it, but I really like the story that they told with John Moxley, which is really the third like resurrection of John Moxley.
Yeah.
Like this whole tournament, to the fact that he was the most hated heel in the company forever, and to the point where everyone in Chicago was wanting Mox to win that match. And when I thought for sure Okada was going to win, because they just put that unified title out there. Like, it seemed like it was going to be Okada's tournament to win again this year. And when Mox hit that elevated Death Rider, I think the whole crowd went, holy shit, he won.
Yeah.
Like, it was the first time that John Moxley won, and everybody was just kind of like, oh my God. And it felt like they did something. So, I mean, I'm a fan of it. Just because they didn't make a new guy, and just because Kyle Fletcher didn't win this, Kyle Fletcher's been on a straight up trajectory. But I think just have this idea that everyone has to be rocket strapped and be given the title right away. And then it's almost like, well, what do you do? I almost think they did that with Max too early too. I think I'm okay with Kyle Fletcher continuing to rise up, and, you know, sometimes you lose, and that's okay. He's like 27 years old. Like, let him have some bumps in the road, and he will be the guy in that company soon enough. I like what they did with John Moxley here a lot, actually.
Yeah, like I said, I don't hate it. I was like, oh man, Takeshita winning the G1 and the C2 in the same year, that would have been just, and the IWGP championship, that would have just been legendary. And then, of course, you know, Kyle Fletcher after the year he's had, I was just like, oh man, it'd be great if he won it. But I do see the story that they're telling with Moxley, and I'm fine with it. Moxley and Fletcher was insane.
It was. Like, it was, what a fucking match.
Yeah.
What a fucking match that was.
It was so good. I think it killed like the next four matches, because they couldn't live up to it.
They could. I mean, it's so funny. People keep telling me Mox. I keep, like, I'll go on Reddit, I'll go on Twitter and be like, Moxley's a bad wrestler. Moxley's not good anymore. Bullshit. John Moxley is Terry Funk. John Moxley is great at being John Moxley. And it was fantastic. And nobody, it was so hard. Having FTR, people, I think people are hard on FTR. But I mean, I think FTR, if the tag team division was better, I think it would have been fine. Stokely almost died, which I appreciate Stokely sacrificing himself for my entertainment. But I mean, like, it wasn't a great follow-up to that. It did kind of kill some of the crowd for a while.
So FTR should have beaten whatever it is, Gun Juice, whatever they're calling them, Bang, the Gang Bang Gang. They're not over.
The Bang
should
bus?
Have beaten them in 8 minutes. We didn't need all them goddamn kickouts. Like you don't have to follow a five-star match with guys who want to have a five-star match. Sometimes you can just go out there and just have two teams beat the shit out of each other. And then the team that you're pushing goes over clean. I don't think you had to do all of that in that match. Like Austin Gunn and Finn Juice or Juice Robinson, they're never going to be guys in this company. You didn't have to go all the way with them. FTR is the act that you're pushing. Just fucking put them over. You don't have to do stupid shit. So I didn't like that tag team title match.
I didn't love it either. I tried to give it a good chance, but just, I don't know. People get so hard on FTR, which again, they like the way you get heel heat from this company is you aren't fresh, I guess. You know, like you've been around for a little bit. And I think FTR is the best tag team in the company right now. There's not a doubt in my mind. I do think eventually, my hunch is it'll eventually go to Bayley and Knight, because I think that's an act that they're going to push. I think that's going to be it eventually. But for this show, it was fine. I would much rather have seen Bayley and Knight, which I just actually said I would rather watch Speedball Bayley. But here we are. I would much rather have seen them wrestle FTR.
Well, now that he's AEW, you love him. That's
no, weird. I don't love him. He bores me to tears. But I like Kevin Knight a lot. So if I have to suffer with Mike Bayley to watch Kevin Knight, I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
And he's better in small doses, quite frankly.
The women's tag team title match, I didn't really care for that one either, to be honest with you. Like I said, I think the Fletcher and Mox match kind of killed the next couple of matches. I didn't really care for the women's tag team title match either. I don't know why. I just was not into it.
We went and got nachos. And when they came out, Andy goes, Dad, could we get nachos?
Yeah.
So let's go get some nachos. Again, the kids got a great instinct. I mean, I don't know. It's not – Monday stuff is not for me. I really like Willow. I think Harley is a great character. It just doesn't do it for me. I didn't, I was eating nachos and bullshit with my kids, so I didn't pay attention to the match very much.
Harley and Willow won, so there you go. And then the next match was probably your son's favorite match. It was a Darby and Gabe Kidd.
Dude, this match was awesome. And it was literally his favorite match. Darby Allin comes out. He just, since he's been a little kid, he just loses his shit for Darby Allin. He adores Darby Allin. I thought it was great. I think Gabe Kidd, and Andy was unfamiliar with Gabe Kidd. So like I said, this guy is intense, and there's just this raw intensity with Gabe Kidd where he comes out there and like, there's so many guys that pretend to be a pro wrestler and they're like being acting and theatrical. And I believe Gabe Kidd will just punch a motherfucker in the mouth, and we need more guys like Gabe Kidd in wrestling. And it wasn't a super long match. It was reasonably short. It was violent. Gabe Kidd beat the shit of Darby Allin. And Andy kept going, Darby just doesn't have it this match. Like he knows the score, but whenever Darby Allin comes out, he just marks out completely. He's like, it's not Darby's day. It's just not Darby's day. And Darby Allin pulls it off and he just loses it every time it happens. Like that kid, Darby Allin just makes my kid believe. And I just enjoy Darby Allin because I enjoy watching my son love wrestling. I think Gabe Kidd could be a fucking player in this company, man. If New Japan doesn't re-sign him, I see dollar signs all over Gabe fucking shit, man.
I don't think New Japan has a choice. I think this is very much a Joe Hendry TNA situation.
I think so too.
Yeah. Much like the Will Ospreay situation. Like Tony Khan's like, hey, Tanahashi, it's a nice wrestler you got there. Can I borrow him? Yeah, we're not ever giving him back. You can have him. You can have him for a couple of dates here and there, but he's ours now. Sorry, bud. Sorry, Tana.
I just don't pay people as much as they should, man. That is just unfortunate where we are in New Japan, where if you weren't native and someone they're going to invest in, it's just the gaijins come and go. That's just the nature of this company, going back to AJ Styles.
I just want the AEW hardcores to have that same energy that they have with WWE and TNA. WWE has taken two of TNA talents. I want them to really look at the AEW New Japan relationship and just how many people that AEW has signed the same exact vitriol that they have for the WWE.
Dude, it's team sports, man. It is the exact same shit. Let us not forget that. I don't understand why people get mad about people getting paid more to get because they're good at their job. Joe Hendry found a great way to make money being Joe Hendry.
Yeah.
He's going to be a goon on SmackDown for the next 5 years, and that's fucking extent. I'm happy for the guy. He found a way. Like
he may never take another bump.
No, and it's perfect for him, man. Like, remember that guy was in Ring of Honor during the pandemic? I'm like, why the fuck is this guy in Ring of Honor? It never made sense to me. Yeah. Like, talk about a guy that gambled on himself, did it his way, and succeeded. We should celebrate this shit.
Yeah. So, and I'm like, so Leon Slater is the next guy that's going to go from TNA to WWE.
Because he's really good.
What's the
fucking problem?
it's a good, like, TNA is doing the right thing by the talent by letting them go. New Japan did the right thing by Will Ospreay by letting him sign early because they know that, look, this is life-changing money you're about to get. We would be dicks if we stood in the way of that. Same situation. And neither come, like, nobody's being predatory. These are partnerships. Yeah. And like, they're helping each other out.
Yeah. And they both, send people back and forth.
Yeah.
Like, honest to God, the wrestling ecosystem is the healthiest it's been in decades.
Yeah.
Like the AEW New Japan CMLL triangle, it works really well. Like, CMLL does great this year. And when they bring in AEW guys, they do good too. They do even better. Like, yeah. WWE has made AAA viable. AAA has struggled for decades. And under WWE bannership, they're doing really, really well. TNA is really strong. Like, I don't see this as a fucking problem. If Mr. Iguana can sell a bunch of fucking puppets and show up on Raw every now and then and people love him, great. Fantastic. Yeah. I don't see the issue. I really don't.
there isn't an issue. Like, New Japan and TNA are doing right by their talent. When they let their talent sign bigger contracts with bigger companies, that's just it. They're doing right by the talent. Yeah. The bad thing would be to prevent them from making all that money. Instead, they're helping them. And when you're TNA, that's going to you're going to be able to market your company to potential free agents who are saying, like, hey, look, if I do find a better offer at the bigger company, like, TNA might actually help me out with that. So I'm going to come in and work hard for them.
I truly believe that AJ Styles showing up in the Royal Rumble almost 10 years ago did a lot to help New Japan in the eyes of, like, the mainstream wrestling
fan. Yeah.
Because when he showed up, they said, oh, he was a new IWGP champion. I think a lot of people went, what's that? And then had a chance to, because, like, the rise of New Japan, like, they were super popular. Like, the early Bullet Club days, it was in the weeds with guys like us. Right. Yeah. When AJ signs with WWE, is the same time Bullet Club shirts start showing up in Hot Topic. The Bucks are pushing things. Like, I think having AJ jump at that moment and, you know, and people talking about it really did a lot to help New Japan's visibility in 2016, 2017. So I'm crazy, I guess. I think that people jumping around is good for wrestling. I really do. I don't like people signing 10-year contracts. I think that guys should bounce around. The 80s and 90s was a much more interesting time in wrestling because of that. And I think that Gabe Kidd eventually going to AEW, which is what's going to happen, I think he can be a premier heel in AEW within the next year because he's got this violent intensity that is sorely lacking from pro wrestling. Like, and Gabe Kidd gets out there, it's shit's going to get fucked up. And it's like... Yeah. It's almost Moxley-ish, but like Moxley has his own vibe, like this mellow vibe where Gabe Kidd's Moxley, a fucking lunatic.
And who just turned babyface?
Yeah,
who just Moxley. Turned
baby. Correct.
And he's a member of the Death Riders, who's one of the better heels in the company. Gabe Kidd.
Gabe Kidd.
Writes itself.
There you Michael, excellent job. I like that booking. I really do. Because it's great. And now that contract's probably gonna come up because we're almost in January. I think Gabe Kidd could be a Gabe Kidd, John Moxley rivalry in AEW. Sign me the fuck up. Yeah. I'm in. Like, yeah. I think that's a great idea. And I think I love Gabe Kidd. I think that he did a job to Darby on his way out. Because remember, Ospreay did it too. Ospreay jobbed, you know, before he had signed. I think that's kind of what Tony does, is he kind of makes you earn some love with the company before, just to show you're going to be a team player. You know, Maya World and what High End just signed because they were willing to do business. And Tony said, hey, you come in and do business, I'll make sure you got a contract.
For sure. You know. We only got a couple minutes left, so we've been rambling on.
Sorry,
so we get too excited. All right, the mixed nuts match. Did you get a chance to watch that? What'd you think?
I actually quite enjoyed that match. Yeah. It was a nice little break. It was the entertaining. It was comedy. Andy does not. I don't know. He's nine, so he's like, oh, the girls' matches. I have no interest in that. He actually had a blast watching that one. Like, Toni Storm truly is a generational talent. Like, she has so found her niche in this company. Like, he cracked his ass off with her and Orange Cassidy doing that little spiel in the ring. I think it was located really, really well, and the talent booked was great. Wheeler Yuta might be the most hated person on the roster. He gets in the ring and people just fucking hate his guts.
Yeah.
Just for being Wheeler Yuta.
He's got a punchable face.
He totally does. Yeah. And Mark Briscoe is just fucking fan. He's the Jimmy Valiant, but can actually work of this era. You know, people just love Mark Briscoe. I thought it was a really good booking. And I wanted to see more of Marina beating the shit out of her husband, which I'm sure the two of them just enjoyed. You know, I thought it was a lot of fun. I really did. I like that match.
Yeah, and Roddy, EPW says Roddy Strong did not hold on that back chop. No, he did not.
I don't want to just use your imagination what those two are like.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, yeah. Lastly, we already talked about Moxley and Okada, so we need to get into that. We already talked about the main event. So Statlander and Jamie Hayter, what'd you think of that match?
I just can't get into Chris Statlander. I like Jamie Hayter quite a bit. I get they had to get the title off of Tony and spread some love and try to build somebody else up. I completely makes sense. Chris Statlander is very good in the ring, but there's always been a disconnect with me and her. Like, I don't see what everybody else sees.
I don't see it. They really like her. She's a hard worker.
She's a hard worker. I'm not arguing that.
I think they're rewarding her for the hard work, and that makes sense because they kind of messed her up when she started out as an alien, and then she was booping noses.
Yeah, that was her. That's her gimmick. Like, that was what she was doing on the indies. It was a stupid gimmick.
Yeah. You know? And then they had her turn heel on Willow, and then they turned her baby face, and like the whole booking thing, her whole booking arc has been messed up. So now they're just trying to like, hey, this is a really good wrestler and she's our world champion. I don't think it's working. I think that they need to get the belt on a star again, but they're trying to make a star. It just isn't really working. And so eventually they're going to transition it back to Tony or to Monday. Like, Monday is probably going to lose all the belts and then maybe go win that belt, or they're going to do something.
I still don't know why they don't book Willow in that spot, because Willow actually is over. Like, Willow has a great personality. The fucking crowd loves her. She's really good in the ring.
And she's a beast.
And she's a beast. And she's got a different look. And she's just, I don't know, man. I think that Willow is so underutilized. She's the tag champs right now, which is good. They're starting her. They were smart putting those belts on her and Harley. They're both super over, like, with a company. Like, okay, sure. I just don't get why they don't just pull the trigger on putting Willow in that spot for a little bit, but whatever. Yeah.
All right, to close it out, I just got to give AEW a really big compliment. 4 hours, that's good. 4 hours, that's a good pay-per-view. I left early because I got tired, but that's just because I didn't get much sleep the night before. I'm not going to complain about a 4-hour show. Could it have been one or two less matches? For me, probably, but 4 hours, I think that's a good happy medium. 5.5 to 6, you guys are out of your minds if you do that ever again. That's a mini series. Nobody wants that. Just 4 hours, perfect.
4 hours at the main show. The pre-show starts at 6.
Pre-show doesn't count.
Pre-show does not count. I didn't go. It's funny. Andy and I were leaving. The bus driver looks at me. He goes, hey, how much longer is this going to go? I said, the main event just started. And he looked at me and he goes, I swear to God, are you fucking shitting me? I said, nah, man, these shows go long.
Yeah.
And the look on this bus driver's face was just like perfect.
Yeah.
It made me laugh. Made me think of you, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, we 3 hours is perfect, but 4 hours, okay, happy medium. That's good. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us this time on the Mike and JD Show. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no way from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no way.
They're just incapable.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation. You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.